As Anya came back to herself, she realized that she was lying prone on a stretcher. She turned her head slightly to the side, finding Yaja lying beside her, apparently in a similar condition. She had no memory in her aching head of how they ended up in the helicopter, or even if they were still in Kuala Lumpur. A man in a flight suit squeezed over through the confines of the helicopter. He knelt beside Anya and shone a light in both her eyes. He was fair, with bright red hair and wide, honest eyes. He wore a patch with a red crescent in a white circle sewn to the breast of his green jumpsuit.
Pupils both the same size, you'll be pleased to know. Sit up for me, please, if you can.
Anya obeyed, and the medic began to probe the blood-matted hair at the back of her head with gloved fingers.
Wait, are you a Malaysian search and rescue team?
No, we're not from Malaysia.
Suddenly, Anya noticed a commotion at her side. Yaja had awakened and begun to struggle frantically. A woman tried to restrain her as she batted at her weakly.
Anya, do something! They're Europetro!
With a jolt of horror, Anya saw the distinctive blue logo on the patch on her rescuer's jumpsuit. Looking around wildly, she saw the others wore them too. She also noticed that every one of the five people in view, except the nurse crouched over her, wore a holstered sidearm.
What's going on?
You are being rescued. From what I gather, there were criminals hired by renegade elements of the very corporation that employs us. Shocking, the things that go on.
Yaja, relax.
Anya noticed that Yaja had allowed herself to be pressed gently but insistently back down on the stretcher. She felt a stinging at the back of her head as the Malaysian woman swabbed her wound with alcohol.
How can you trust them?
Because we're still alive.
The helicopter had hovered for a few minutes before coming in for a landing. Carrying water bottles that had been pressed into their hands by their briskly solicitous rescuers, or captors, the two women were helped out of the helicopter. It took a moment for Anya to get her bearings. They were on a dark ridge with waving, shadowy trees all around. To one side, the sky was lit by a glow that Anya realized could only come from Kuala Lumpur itself. The friendly Englishman set the bag of scrolls down by Anya's feet.
A pleasure, miss!
The medic climbed back into the helicopter, which promptly leapt up into the sky, wheeled east, and flew away toward the city. For a moment, Anya and Yaja stood in utter confusion in the dark, alone. Finally, a figure approached, tall and slim, with suit coat tails whipping in the wind of the helicopter's departure. As he got closer, Anya tensed up. She recognized the man.
Good evening, ladies.
Mr. Thistledown?
I'm glad to see you both in such tip-top shape, considering your recent terrible ordeal.
And you are?
This is Mr. Thistledown. Mr. Thistledown, this is Yaja Arkadchik.
Such a very great pleasure to meet you, Ms. Arkadchik. An honor, if I may say so, to meet one so very young, yet so accomplished in such fields as cryptology and ancient languages. Ladies, if you please.
Thistledown gestured back along the ridgetop. Looking that way, Anya saw a large tent faintly lit from within. Several men stood nearby. Anya shouldered the bag of scrolls as she and Yaja followed Thistledown as he turned toward the tent.
What happened to Marshall?
He and Mr. Sulin were a little too enthusiastic in their pursuit. Under the circumstances, he left us small choice but to act most precipitously. He has been dealt with appropriately.
What's that supposed to mean?
It is, I fear, not my place to discuss corporate policy, any more than it is to make it.
Thistledown gestured with his arm toward the broad, tapering back of a tall man who stood silhouetted against the city lights beside the tent. The horizon glowed in a million points of light before him.
And now, if you will permit me the honor, I'd like to introduce you to our new director, Mr. Garen Braden.
The man turned to them and approached, grinning, holding out his hand. Anya felt her knees buckle with mingled relief and trepidation.
Oh my God, he's gorgeous!
New director?
If you can't beat him, buy him, as I always say. At least for the last century or two. And if I'm going to buy in, why not at the top? I couldn't have helped you two very much as a mailroom clerk, now could I?
What happened to the old director?
I fear Herr Director Sinnbrenner is no longer with us. The rest of the board determined he had engaged in conduct quite inappropriate to the role of the consortium. He has accordingly been terminated.
Somewhat weakly, Anya shook the huge square hand. As always, it felt as if it had been sculpted out of seasoned oak. Garin put his hand on Anya's shoulder. She tried not to think about the sensation it produced. He guided her away from Thistledown and the others who stood in the shadows. Yaja followed. Anya suspected she was determined not to miss anything. She became aware the hilltop was ringed by a discreet but heavily armed security detail. She knew that even if she and Yaja weren't entirely wrung out, they'd have little chance of escape, especially with Garin on hand, since he was probably more dangerous than the whole guard force.
And now, I believe you have something for me.
Why should we give it to you? You were supposed to be Anya's friend, but you went over to them.
Did you really describe me as your friend, Anya dear?
Not exactly. Don't you see, Yaja? We're in his power. He can simply take what he wants by force.
Ah, but I won't. You wrong me, Anya. You should know me as a man of my word. Besides, force is unnecessary. Come.
He escorted the two women and Mr. Thistledown into the tent. Several comfortable-looking chairs were placed in a circle at the center. The temperature and humidity were perfectly balanced by some sort of climate control.
Wasn't this a lot of expense for Sinnbrenner to incur? All the contract killers, the equipment, the lives lost?
Young lady, it cost my former employer substantially more to undermine the anti-nuclear power movement of the 70s and 80s.
Anyway, don't look so grim, ladies. As it happens, I'm feeling generous. Very, very generous.
Why's that?
Well, it took all of my available liquidity to swing the purchase of enough stock to make me majority private holder of EP. But as a result of doing so, I've already doubled my net worth and stand to increase my wealth exponentially in a remarkably short time. I really feel I owe you ladies a finder's fee.
The scrolls?
We've arranged for them to be properly conserved, I assure you. What's more, Ms. Arkadjek's position in Alexandria awaits her return. Our new director, Mr. Garin, has graciously arranged for Europetro to take over funding of the library recovery project. As many surviving members of your team as are willing will be brought back on board, with, of course, additional staff hired by us.
Including site supervisors?
Naturally.
I want something, too.
Aside from getting the monkey, pardon the expression, off the back of you and your friend? Well, some people are never satisfied. What?
A man named Leo built an ultralight airplane by himself. It was named Ariel. Tex and I rented it to rescue Yaja and we lost it. I want it replaced.
I can arrange that quite cheaply. By remarkable coincidence, a hand-built ultralight aircraft sporting a most unfortunate paint job turned up on one of our properties, a former oil rig in the North Sea. Would this Leo person accept that aircraft in exchange for his lost one, do you think?
I suspect so. Oh, one other thing. Tex Winston's body must be returned to his parents.
Yes, in Idaho. That occurred over an hour ago, confirmed by email to Mr. Thistledown. A pity that the brave sacrifice of his own life wasn't enough to save Amon Hoag and his nephew from being murdered by a particularly brutal home invasion gang. But he appears to have taken out several of the bandits before he died. Small consolation to his parents, I'm sure, but they do know that he died a hero.
Thank you, Garin.
My pleasure. And now, ladies, the scrolls, if you please.
But what if they really do hold the secret of unlimited energy? Aren't you at least curious?
Young lady, we already know what works. Some quite astonishing things, really. Now, please hand over the scrolls.
A tear slid down Yaja's face as Anya let the satchel's strap slide off her shoulder. Stooping slightly, she placed it on the ground between her and the girl.
It needs to be your choice, Yaja. Whatever you decide, I'll back you.
Yaja turned and clung to her, crying. It took only a moment before she recovered a measure of control and lifted her face to Anya, who smiled. She turned, grabbed up the satchel, and thrust the ancient scrolls toward Garin's broad chest.
Take them, then! But if you ever harm my friend Anya, a terrible, terrible fate will befall you.
Garin smiled slowly and arched a brow toward Anya.
You better listen to her. She has the gift of prophecy.
Rogue Angel, The Lost Scrolls is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2007, Alex Archer. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Michael Glenn, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Vanessa Benjamin, MB Van Dorn, Jeff Baker, Michael Replogel, Dylan Lynch, Christopher Graybill, Chris Rowan, Nathaniel Perry, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Carlos Anderson, Brian Rogers, and Chris Rowan. Graphic audio sound design by Brian Rogers and Chris Rowan. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Book adapted for graphic audio by Matt Jacobs. Additional German dialogue by Mark Ashby. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for Simon R. Green's Deathstalker series. Available at Roadstops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for the next episode of Mark Dalton, Owner-Operator.